Tom passed me in the hall the other day, and he said, "I see the name, the title of your sermon, and that's an interesting title. That's kind of like saying that you have a blind date, and the date is, has a good personality or something. I'm not sure, but he said, it's an interesting title. I don't know what it means, but it's interesting." So hopefully that will be the case. You'll find it interesting as we go through this. The Disease of the Successful is the name of my sermon today. I'd like to invite you to follow the scripture that will come on the screen at this point, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" May God bless the reading and hearing of this, His holy word. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, speak through me this day to touch hearts, to change lives, to make a difference, to challenge us, to move us forward under your banner. Amen. Many of you are familiar with the book, The Color Purple. Maybe, perhaps you saw the movie. I think Oprah Winfrey was one of the stars in that movie. Alice Walker is the author of The Color Purple. I'm not familiar with her other works, but I did learn recently of a short story that she wrote entitled The Welcome Table. The story took place in the Deep South. There was a beautiful, freshly painted white church filled with people on a Sunday morning. It was always filled. People were happy to see each other. They had a good preacher there. It was an all-white congregation, but a really strong church. One Sunday morning, as they stood outside waiting for the service to start, they looked down the road that led to the church, and walking toward the church was an older African-American lady. And they thought to themselves, "Well, surely she'll just walk around the church. She surely won't come in the church." But as they watched, before they could say anything, she made her way up the steps of the church, past the people standing out in front of the church, and down the center aisle to the altar where she knelt to pray. There was grumbling throughout the church. And finally, some of the men went down to the altar and they physically picked her up from the altar and they took her to the front of the church and they threw her out into the road, where she laid motionless for an extended period of time. And then suddenly, she lifted her head and it was a great smile that came upon her face. As she looked down the road, she saw Jesus walking toward her. And when Jesus got there, he gently lifted her to her feet. And he said, "Simply come and follow me." And so they walked along the dusty road together. And they talked and they laughed and they sang gospel hymns. And they continued to walk down the road until finally the road ended. And they walked off into the clouds. Some time went by. People in the church were asking what happened to the older lady who came to our church that day. And one man said, "I don't know for sure, but I have been told that she moved to the other side of the river." What's wrong with this picture? A successful church filled with people glad to see each other. But something was terribly, terribly wrong. I think they had the disease of the successful. And it's a disease, by the way, that we can all acquire. I read a book of sermons recently written by one of my heroes, Dr. Fred Craddock. And in that book, he used the phrase disease of the successful. And when I read it, I had no idea what that meant. And I continued to read, and finally the light went on, and I understood what he was saying. He was talking to us as individuals, and he was talking to us as churches, and what he's saying is, we can become so content with what we've done in the past, and so content with what we're doing now, that we just sit back and don't think anything else is required of us. And the scriptures teach us, to whom much has been given, much will be required. And yet somehow we are content with past successes, content with what we've done in the past. It can happen. It can even happen to a church like Trinity. I don't know for sure in this story what Jesus was talking about, although Tom reminded me that it was a preacher or preachers that was standing before God. And they said, "Lord, Lord." And he said, "Depart from me. I don't even know who you are." Now, you know, that story has always intrigued me, but it haunts me too. It does not sound like something Jesus would say, does it? It simply does not sound like something he would say. But you know one thing about Jesus, he always told it like it was, didn't he? He always told it with love, but he always told it the way it was. Now note in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, the one standing before God says, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. I've prophesied in your name. I've cast out demons in your name. I've done all these wonders in your name. What do you mean you don't know who I am?" Now, if one of us was standing before God and we were saying, "Lord, Lord," we might say it this way. We might say, "Hold on a minute, God. I'm in church every Sunday. I took that wonderful Alpha course. I went on the mission trips to Africa and the Appalachian Service Project. I did all those things. And I volunteer my time. I've done all that. What do you mean you don't know who I am?" God might just be thinking that we have the disease of the successful, because we are content with what we've done. We think we've done enough. We think we've done our part. We think that that's all that's required of us. Until the day we die, there's more required of us in this life. Every day, God calls us to work for Him. How many times have we heard people say, "I've done my part. Let somebody else do it"? No, it doesn't work that way. We continue to work for the Lord. We continue to do that all of our lives. Just being present in church is not enough. Just volunteering our time is not enough. Just going on mission teams is not enough. There's more yet required of us. Before we moved to Gainesville, we were members of a church in a small southwest town, southwest Georgia town, where the headquarters for Habitat for Humanity is. And we were members of that church for 5 years, and I don't think there were more than maybe a few dozen people who even knew who we were. And on Sunday morning, when we would leave the church, we'd go down the steps of that church, and there were little groups of people who had known each other their whole lives. They were relatives or they were friends. Now, this was considered to be one of the stronger churches in that conference, and the attendance was good and all this kind of stuff, and they had plenty of money. But the groups would all stand around, and we would walk between them, and it was like we were invisible. They didn't see us. We were invisible. It was a church that had the disease of the successful. They were content with just doing things the way they'd always done it. Heaven forbid that someone would challenge them to do it differently. My dear friends, the Scriptures are always jolting us into reality, isn't it? That we need to be growing in our faith. We need to be marching together as men and women of the faith to make a difference in this life. We cannot be content until every person in this world has been invited into the kingdom of God and has been wrapped up in the love of God. We cannot be content. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's more yet to be done. More yet to be done. When we think we know it all, when we think we've done it all, when we think we have all knowledge, when we think we know everything about God and everything about faith and everything about religion, that's when we have the disease of the successful. Years ago, I heard a great story. There was a church that was literally burning to the ground. And there were two men standing out in front of the church watching it burning. And both were members of the church. One was a very active member of the church, and the other almost never went to church at all. And the active member turned to the inactive member and said, "I don't remember ever seeing you at church before." And he said, "You know what? I don't ever remember seeing the church on fire before." Wow. I don't remember ever seeing the church on fire before. We need to ask ourselves this morning, is the church on fire? for Jesus Christ? Are we on fire for Jesus Christ? Or are we content with what we've already done? Are we settling down? We've done our part. Or are we on fire? In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, in the 16th verse, it says this, "And you are neither hot nor cold, but just lukewarm, and I spew you out," or "I spit you out of my mouth." Now think about that. What can you think of that's good that's lukewarm? Coffee's not good when it's lukewarm. Iced tea's not good when it's lukewarm. If you pick up a cup of coffee and you think it's hot, and you take a swallow and it's lukewarm, what do you want to do? You want to spit it out, don't you? God's saying, I don't want any lukewarm Christians either. I don't want anybody to be lukewarm. When I was a kid, we used to sing a song we don't sing much anymore, "Onward Christian Soldiers." I used to love that song. "Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." Now, I've got to confess something. I'm not particularly enamored with referring to church folks as an army of soldiers, but I am enamored with the fact that we're all marching together under the banner of Christ. And when we stop marching together, when we start moving forward, we're going to start moving backwards. When we stop growing, we're going to start dying. And that's just a reality. One day, a country preacher was preaching a great sermon, and he was saying to his church, you know, you need to give more of yourself. You need to give more of yourself. At the end of the service, one of the church members cornered him and said, look, if you keep telling us we've got to give more of ourselves to the church, you're going to kill this church. And he said to the man, would you please take me to a church that is in ruins because its people gave too much of themselves? I would like to walk through the ruins of that church and get down on my knees and say, thank you, God, for all these folks who died giving too much of themselves to the Lord. You don't kill a church by asking people to give too much. You kill a church by not asking them to give enough. Do you understand? You don't kill a church by asking them to give too much. You kill a church by not asking them to give enough. We cannot be content. We cannot settle down as long as there's one person that doesn't know the gospel, as long as there's one person that goes to bed at night hungry, as long as there's one person that lives in fear for their life, as long as there's one person out there who is deprived of the necessities of life. We cannot be content. We cannot settle down. Jesus is not trying to frighten us when he tells this story. He's not trying to bully us into the kingdom. He's simply telling it like it is. He's saying, one day you may say to me, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, wait a minute, you've been playing church all these years. You really haven't made any difference by what you did with your life. He may say that to me. I don't know. I hope he doesn't. But I don't want to be the one standing there when he says, depart from me, I do not even know who you are. Trinity, my dear friends, is the most wonderful church I've ever been a part of. Seeing these people stand up here a while ago gave me chill bumps. Seeing the people come back from Africa just touched my soul. We do so many amazing things. This is one of the greatest churches I've ever been a part of. But let me tell you something. For every church like Trinity United Methodist Church, there are 25 others that are struggling to keep their doors open. And one reason is because they ought to have a sign out front that says, but we've always done it that way. And we're not going to do it any differently. But listen to me, please. Please listen to me. The same thing can happen to this church if we become content with what we've already done. If we just settle down. If we just decide we've done enough. And there's nothing left to do. in Savannah, Georgia. There was a church that sat there for the longest time, and not many people came. The church didn't grow, and almost every Sunday, there was a dear lady in that church that would stand up and pray, "Lord, bring us more people. Bring people into the church. Help our church to grow." She prayed that prayer over and over again. Well, as fate would have it, that part of Savannah began to boom, I mean, grow like crazy. Houses all around the church. And the church was growing by leaps and bounds. And they invited a former pastor to come back and preach a revival in that church. And one of the first people he saw when he got there was this woman. And he said, Oh, Brother so-and-so, you would not believe what has happened to our church. It's just terrible. I don't even know anybody. All these folks are coming from everywhere. I don't even know who they are anymore. I go to church and I feel like a stranger in my own church. Isn't it terrible? I wish I had been him. You know what I would have said? Lady, you need to be really careful what you pray for, because God's going to make it happen. He's going to set your church on fire. So be really careful what you ask for. The same thing applies to individuals as it does to the church. We cannot be satisfied with what we've done in the past. There's always more that needs to be done. Please don't be the one who stands before God and says, "Lord, Lord," and He says, "Depart from me. I don't even know who you are." Spend your whole life serving Him. Do everything you can to make a difference in the kingdom of God. We cannot allow ourselves to acquire the disease of the successful. We just cannot allow it. Let me close with this story. In one of my dad's churches that he served, there was a lady who taught children's Sunday school class for more than 40 years. Now think about that. We have a hard time getting people to teach Sunday school in our church for a year. She had taught Sunday school class for more than 40 years. And somebody stopped her one day and said, "Why do you keep on teaching that children's Sunday school class? Aren't you getting tired of that after all these years? Don't you want to stop?" And you know what she said? I love this. She said, "As long as there's one child out there that needs to know the Bible, and as long as I'm still able to get down on the floor and play with them and get back up, I'm going to keep on teaching." And with all she'd done, and she had done a lot, she was not content. She was never content. There was so much more yet to be done. Please listen to me now as I close this sermon. This is so important. We can never back down. We can never stop trying until every person on earth has come to know a loving God. Don't suffer from the disease of the successful. Don't do it. If you do, let the gospel challenge you to continue to fight the good fight, to keep the faith, to run the race set before you, and to do all the things we can to bring in the kingdom of God and to desperately bring people into the love of Christ so that they might know for themselves His amazing grace. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for challenging us, for inspiring us, and yes, Lord, sometimes for shaking us up. We're so grateful for this church, for all that we do, for all the lives that we touch, for all those who go all over the world to share the gospel. But help us, oh God, never to be content with what we've done, for there's so much more yet to be done. Amen.